Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. We're going to be in Mark 2, 13 through 17. I'll give a shout out to Billy, even though he went upstairs to teach. He taught last week and he's teaching this week upstairs. But Billy did just a great job with communicating the Word of God to all of you. I'm so thankful for the Bible guys and that ministry. And there goes Teresa to teach too. And but it's just awesome to see the Bible guys connecting in that way. John, I think we've got you on the list. Is that what I heard for one of the Christmas messages? And so just pretty awesome to be able to see those things happening and training up men. You know, that's always a vision of mine when I came out of college. I really wanted to equip men to do the work of the ministry. And to be preachers and to just prepare them so that even if they left this place, and I think of Lance in this way, even though he leaves, he could go to another church and walk into the pastor's office and say, I'm equipped and prepared to serve and minister in whatever way you can based on the ministry I've come from. And so just really awesome to see how God is using these different individuals in this way. Today we're going to talk about a purposeful party that took place with Jesus on this journey that we're looking at Mark. And so I want to kind of start by that. What would be an example of a purposeful party that maybe you have been a part of before in your life? Purposeful party. What would be an example of one? A wedding would be a purposeful party, okay? And Lance and Amanda just came back for one, and so there was purpose, there was a focus, there was a center to this event, and the center was the bride and groom and their commitment to one another and their commitment to God, and so there was this celebration, this party that took place. So it would be another one. Go ahead. Yeah, a birthday party for your two-year-old. In fact, it's going to happen this afternoon, and so there's excitement that's involved in that. But again, the focus comes back to one specific area, and it would be on the two-year-old. Anybody else have any? A party? A graduation would be another one, and the focus is on the person that has graduated and all the expenses that are involved in having that party. Yeah, good. Sam? Right, so you had a party in your home area so that people could come and visit and interact. And again, Becca and Samuel were the focus of that party. There was some attention that was put into that. Anybody else? Uh-oh. A funeral. Who said that? Yeah, a funeral can be a party, can it? It can be a celebration depending on the relationship that individual had with the Lord. I know I've been to part of some funerals that are not parties. Very sad because of the lack of relationship to Christ. But absolutely, a funeral could definitely be a party. One more. Christmas could definitely having a party at Christmas. Sometimes the focus is on the presents, or sometimes the focus is on Jesus Christ and Him being the center. Another example for me is my life. My life is a party, you guys. You know, everything that I attempt to do in life, and what about you? Anybody else? Is your life a party? Raise your hand if your life's a party. Deb, raise your hand because I thought of you first. Deb, why do I say my life's a party, or why would you say your life's a party? Okay, yes. Because life is enjoyable, life is exciting, life is about having passion for something. And specifically for me, why I say my life is a party is because there's something, a part of my life that I try to focus in on and diving into, and that is Christ. Christ, I attempt every single day to allow Christ to be the center of my life. And as a result, I try to live Him out in everything that I do, in every step of my day. It doesn't matter if I'm at the wood shop, or if I'm at the high school, or if I'm in my home, or if I'm at church, or no matter what, my life is a party, and the party is focused on Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to look at this purposeful party that Jesus Christ has with a man that He calls really from the depths of the earth and calls him into an amazing relationship with him. And we are going to see this celebration that takes place that we too should be celebrating every single day. And so if you're at Mark 2, and we're going to begin, and we're going to just read through 13 through 17, and we're going to see this party happen before our eyes. Let's begin in verse 13 of Mark 2. It says this: "He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he rose and he followed him. And as he reclined at the table in his house, Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to be in your word this morning. Thank you for allowing us to gather here in this place and to pause from the chaos of life, from the struggles that may exist. Thank you, God, for allowing us to just pause and to smother ourselves by your amazing word that you have preserved for us. God, I'm so thankful for this church and the commitment that this church has on preaching the word. And that, Lord, even on Sundays, we have a party here. And we have a party that is centered on your word and your word alone. God, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within us to give us the ability to understand what is written here. Heavenly Father, I pray for the people that are sitting in this room. I pray for the ones that may hear this message in the weeks to come through our website. And God, I pray that you would give people the open eyes, ears, hearts, minds, to be able to see and experience what Jesus did here in this passage of Scripture. God, thank you for the example of Jesus. Thank you for the life that he lived. Thank you for the influence that he was on so many. And how that is carried our lives today. And how he has influenced us to have an intimate and personal relationship with you, Heavenly Father. So, Father, as we journey through this passage today and as we interact together as a congregation, I pray there would be sensitivity to what is spoken in preparation for what is to come in our ministry, even here this next week. Thank you, God, for bringing us here today. Thank you, God, for the opportunities that you've provided us to interact with one another. And thank you, God, for the word that we stand and sit and will experience here today. We commit all this to you in Christ's name. Amen. So as we talk about this message today, let's start by looking at a little bit of the backdrop and background. And let's begin with this: Jesus was. Because there's some things that are revealed about Jesus here in this passage of Scripture that I think are significant for us to begin to pull out. And so as we come to verse 13, we see that it says that he went out again beside the sea, okay? He went out again beside the sea. And what is revealed by that is that Jesus was a very active individual, okay? We see that he's coming and going. He's healing people. He's interacting with people. He's going to secluded places. He's coming back out into the public. But there's all of this time that Jesus is spending either by himself or with other people, but there's not a lot of downtime for him. There's this constant movement in the purpose that he has in his journey. And so he comes and he's beside the sea again, it says, and we see that there's this great crowd of people that are around him. And he was out there and he was teaching, as it says at the end of verse 13. And as he's teaching, he's continuing on, and he comes to this man, and this man is named Levi, where later on we will see that his name is Matthew. And so this man Levi is sitting at a tax booth, and he's handing or collecting money from the people. He works for the Roman government, and maybe sometimes he takes a little extra to pad his wealth and his fortune. But Jesus comes, and in his activity, he comes to this man, and he calls him. He calls him and wants him to come and follow after Christ. And what we see from this passage at the end of verse 14 is that Matthew, Levi, ultimately follows. And he comes and he begins to want to do something with Christ. And we see in verse 15 is where the party begins. Okay? And so the party begins by Matthew, Levi inviting Jesus to come and to have a meal with him at his house. And so in Jesus' activity, he goes, he participates, and he has this intimate time with Matthew. Now, it's not just limited to just him, but we can also see from our text in Jesus' activity that there was interactions with disciples that followed him. We see that in the middle of 15. But we also see that these tax collectors and sinners were associating with Jesus as well, and Levi in his home. In fact, it says there in our text at the end of verse 15, it says, "For there were many who followed him." You know, originally in my studies, I was looking at that and thinking, wow, look at all the disciples that were following after Jesus. But it wasn't the disciples that were the many, but it was the tax collectors and sinners. It was the people that longed to know this Jesus and wanted what he had to offer. Because there was a lot of struggle and tension and turmoil that we'll talk about here in a little bit for these individuals. In Jesus' activity, it just wasn't limited to going to Levi's house, but we see that he also ate with Levi. We see that in verse 16, the scribes and Pharisees said, when they saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors. And so there was maybe some fellowship, some breaking of bread, some talking and interaction, but there was also the food that was involved. So Jesus was an active person. And I think that's important for us to understand as we journey not just in this passage, but as we look back on the passages already in Mark chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, and as we look forward, we need to see and be reminded that Jesus was a mover. Jesus was a shaker. Jesus was somebody that was going to get something done. And even in his quiet time, he was active in his communication with his Heavenly Father. And I think that's so important for us as a society to understand that Jesus was moving. The other thing that is revealed about Jesus here is that Jesus was relational. Go ahead and click it, Jason. For some reason, Jesus was relational. Okay? He was a relational individual. And we see that in our text as we look at verse 13. Again, there was a great crowd that was there. There was a crowd there that was wanting again to be with him and to spend time with him. He called this Levi, and he had a relationship or connection with him for some reason in some way. Could he have possibly seen the paralytic healed the week before, as Billy shared with us? Could he have been there and watched the leopard heal and all of those things? He could have viewed all of this. But Jesus was relational in his communication and connection. We see the lives of people that have radically been changed from Mark 1 to the point that we're at today, and it won't end there. There will be many people's lives changed because of the relationship that Jesus had with people. We see as he goes to the house, again, there's these tax collectors there, there's these sinners there. He wasn't a loner. He wasn't an individual that necessarily put himself, and I actually thought about this last night. I want to give you two spectrums. He wasn't an individual that put himself up on a pedestal. Jesus associated with all kinds of people. Jesus had relationships with every kind of person that existed in the world. In fact, I think about Philippians 2 when I come to the other spectrum. Jesus was a man with great humility. Jesus was a man that didn't say, hey, look at me, look how great I am. Jesus was a man that says, I have something to offer and I want to share it with anyone and everyone. With great humility. But he was relational in the process. He had this relationship with people that he didn't care what other people thought. What he cared about was for the souls of the people that he interacted with, loved on, and cared for. He had many disciples that he spent time with, and we'll see here in a few weeks, and I'll have the opportunity to preach. Maybe it's not a few weeks, I guess it's actually our next time around, but we will see the call of these individuals ultimately to follow after Jesus, these disciples, a specific call. And there were also the scribes and the Pharisees that he interacted with and that he had a relationship with in this story and in this time together. But Jesus just wasn't active, and he wasn't just relational, but Jesus was not religious. And I think it is so important, if I don't hone in on this specifically through the passage, I think it's important for what's coming next week. I think it's important for this passage of Scripture. But the idea of being relational versus religious. Because we see it here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus wasn't afraid to spend time with people that the religious people, the Pharisees or the scribes, if the scribes were only there, if the Pharisees were there too, he wasn't an individual that said, I can't associate with them because of their uncleanness or because it doesn't they don't live up to the standard of what the law may say. And in fact, if we were to look at this, there's a question that these scribes and Pharisees in verse 16, as they saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, there was a question that they asked. And they said it to the disciples, not to Jesus. And the question that is asked is there towards the end of 16. And it says, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And the disciples didn't answer, wasn't able to answer. In fact, it goes on to say in 17, and it says, and when Jesus heard it, he gave those men a response. And Jesus' response is so powerful, and I really, this is the mission of Jesus. The mission of Jesus is revealed here in 17, and it has nothing to do with religion, but it has everything to do with relationship. And as he heard this in 17, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. And when he talks about the well, he's talking about those people that really present themselves as spiritually healthy. He's not talking about the physical here. He's talking about the spiritual. And he says this statement to these Pharisees, to these scribes, as a little bit of a nudge to say, you guys have it all figured out. You're not the reason that I've come. Instead, he says, the reason that I have come are for the sick. And specifically in this context, the sick that he refers to is the tax collectors and sinners. The ones that have distanced themselves from an understanding of who God is. And not just understanding in mind, but understanding in heart and having an intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so it is these men that are questioning Jesus that is not why Jesus isn't there to make them feel good or to like those guys. He is there for the ones that are hurting and that have, again, that humility, the low of the people that are recognizing we need help. Jesus isn't there to come to be a part of the Pharisees. Jesus isn't there to be a part of the leaders of this group, and he probably could have been. He was a smart man that knew so much. And why these men struggled with this is because in Jesus' day, the rabbis and these leaders, as they look at the tax collector, that's nothing but a thug and an evil, evil individual, because number one, they've gone and they're working for the Roman government, and number two, they're padding their own pockets. And everyone looked at these Pharisees, and these Pharisees believed that they were the spiritual and the holy ones, and they were the ones that ultimately set the standard. Because they followed the law, because they followed the traditions. And at all costs, they would avoid these sinners or these unclean people as they would view themselves or view those people. Because of the wickedness and the evilness and going totally against what God wanted. I want to talk about this just for a minute. Because I think this is critical and foundational for where we're about ready to go and begin to talk about who Jesus is. But even in our own culture today, I think we can find ourselves to be those kind of people, those people like the Pharisees. And even as we try to connect with these three words as people of this church, we could all say we're very active and these are the things that we do and we're very relational and we connect very well with one another. And hey, we'll even go as far as to say we connect very well with the people outside of this church. But how often do we find ourselves in associating with people that you may view as not very religious or not having a good relationship to Christ? How easy is it for us to look at those people and say, they're wrong? And it becomes this judgmental picture of how we're living our lives. I remember early on in my Christian walk having an individual coming to me and saying to me that I could not share an illustration of playing cards in my message because playing cards were evil and wrong. It's a very pharisaical perspective. Or how about going to the movies? Well, we can't go to the movies. And I know there's a generation Gary shared many times with us as the men's group and just the generational idea that you can't do this. You can't go to the movies because it represents you can't associate with those people, and who knows what, it's going to be dark, and you're going to be with another person. And I mean, there's all these things that could have happened. Anyone who drinks, we can get very pharisaical about the person that drinks alcohol and saying that's evil and that's wrong, and you're not supposed to do that, and you can't do that. Maybe somebody that dances. I had a gentleman out at BBC, an older gentleman, that said to me that somebody was killed in a car accident because they were leaving a dance, and that was God's judgment on their lives. And I thought to myself, man, that is crazy. But how often do we look at children in our own church, or do we look at children that are going to come through these doors on Tuesday, and do we say, those parents don't know how to raise those kids. I need to have a conversation with those people. I think we can fall into this religious picture, and we can be those people that are quick to be judgmental. I shouldn't associate with the people that have bad language. I shouldn't associate with the people that want to go and gamble and throw all their money away at the casino or in this event or this or that. And we're so quick to be critical of people and not doing and following Jesus' activity here and just building relationships with people. Influencing people. I see a lot of influence in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is having on people that need Him. And I want to remind you, as you look at verse 17 again, Jesus says this, "You who are well, those who are well have no need of this physician." They have no need of going to the doctor because, hey, you've got it all figured out. But it is the sick. And I think what needs to be highlighted here in that thought process and what needs to be revealed of Jesus is that Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is a compassionate individual. Jesus provided care to those that no one else would help. Jesus was willing to go where nobody else would go. And it wasn't for His fame, it wasn't for His recognition, but it was for the salvation, it was for the relationship that He would gain. And I talk about all of those things that sometimes we could be judgmental of, and I come back to this word, and sometimes I think this is a word that we really struggle with as believers in Christ. There's not a lot of compassion sometimes when we're associating with people outside of what we think is right. And what's scary, sometimes what we think is right isn't always right. Because it's based on our opinion and what we want and what we desire. But Jesus provided this care where nobody else would help. And Levi was the first. And hey, did you notice something from this passage? We see that the scribes and the Pharisees, they were very critical of what Jesus was doing with this man, Levi. And yet, from my understanding of this text, there was a 180 degree turnaround with the life of Levi. There was repentance. He was doing his thing and making his own money, and he decides to turn and to follow Christ. And in fact, he was so impacted by Jesus Christ that what did he do? He said, "Jesus, come to my house and I want to invite my friends and I want to have a party." And yet the Pharisees and the scribes are looking at it going, "How in the world would you associate with a person like that?" Instead of celebrating the fact that this man's life was changing. And he didn't just impact Levi, but he then began to impact the friends and the relatives and the connection that Levi had within his home. See, this idea of compassion really comes back to that word physician. Jesus was the great physician. Jesus was the one that was there to heal and to care for and to be a part of the people that would ultimately had the potential of contaminating, and that's how the Pharisees looked at it, that they would contaminate Jesus. This idea of compassion means he looked beyond himself. Jesus looked beyond himself. It wasn't about him. He had a concern. He had a heart for these people. He went where others wouldn't dare to go. It wasn't about his fame. It wasn't about his recognition, as I've already said. He didn't look just beyond himself, but he looked beyond the know-it-alls, the religious people. He didn't allow those Pharisees and the scribes, he didn't allow them to influence his decision on how he was going to interact and who he was going to interact with. Instead, he just went and he began to pour into the lives of people, and he just cared for people. He didn't care what those people thought. He was not constrained by the limitations that people tried to put upon him. You can't do that because ultimately that doesn't fit to our standard. He was sensitive to what God wanted. He was sensitive to this idea of the kingdom of God is at hand, and we're to repent and believe in the gospel, as we learned in verse 15 of Mark chapter 1. Jesus was on a mission to influence people. Jesus was on a mission to have this huge impact in the lives of people that nobody else wanted to associate with. Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a purpose. And it was to save people, to call people to himself. It wasn't about the do's and the don'ts. It wasn't about the religious activity, but it was about the relationship that he could gain with these people and to begin to pour into their lives. He looked beyond himself. That's that picture of compassion. He looked beyond the know-it-alls. It wasn't about them and making them happy, but it was about impacting other people's lives. And he looked beyond the surface. Jesus was a man that would see the people on the outside, but he wouldn't allow that picture to impact his understanding of who they are or his heart for those people. But he would look within the depths of those people and he would see this great need. It wasn't the healthy that needed the help. He sees the depths of the people. And his work went far beyond the healing of the physical needs. I spent a little bit of time with a man yesterday that potentially is going to, more than likely, will lose his toes because of infection and maybe even his foot. And he's even willing to allow part of his leg to be taken because of just the wants that done with and over with. And doesn't want to deal with surgeries anymore. Multiple surgeries he's had. And as I was talking with him yesterday, and my brother-in-law Van, who's here today, it's his brother, and Van was there, and as we were talking with him yesterday, and I said, "Leroy, I said, you know, the physical is bad, but the most important part that we need to understand and know is that the spiritual is okay, that the spiritual is taken care of." He says, it's not about the physical for me. It is about the spiritual. It is about that relationship that he has with God that is significant. And it's so easy for us to get consumed with the physical part of our lives and miss the greater need that exists in our lives and in the world's lives. There's a greater need of a relationship with Christ than just our physical issues that we have. And it was Jesus Christ who could see that and wanted to pour into the lives of the people, no matter how unclean these individuals were, according to the Pharisees and the scribes. He looked beyond it. And you see, Jesus provided a healing through the forgiveness of sins. And we saw it last week in the healing of the paralytic. We saw it where it wasn't about the physical, it was about the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus provides that. Folks, we are all called to be these kind of people. To be these people that are compassionate and caring and loving and wanting to build relationships with people, even when we may be uncomfortable with it. Even when we may think in our own minds and our own religious background that this can't be right and I can't do this. Jesus is calling us to be those people of compassion. Jesus is setting an example for his disciples. Why did he call Levi? Because Levi was going to bring in all of these people that needed this salvation, that needed this relationship with Christ. We are called to be these kind of people. And I want to challenge you, even as I think about this coming Tuesday, we are going to open up our doors and we are going to invite people to come in. We've had 400 to 500 people that have come through these doors in the years past. And these are people that their kids are going to act up and they're going to spill stuff on this carpet and they're going to make decisions and choices and you may squirm a little bit and be a little uneasy just like the scribes and the Pharisees were because that's not supposed to happen. But as a people, we need to take a step back and to say, and look beyond the surface and ask the question, is there a greater spiritual need that lies within these people that we can be supportive of and help? And as soon as we do that, we go from being these people that thinks it about that it's about us and that we are greater than. And we become those people where it's not about us. It's not about our image. It's not about how it pleases us. But it's how we are able to bring glory to God. It's how we are able to elevate Him. And that was the passion of Jesus Christ. And that's why His compassion began to pour out into the lives of people. Because He was here for a greater mission and a greater calling. And that greater mission and greater calling was to call the sinners into a right relationship with Him. Can we be those people that say, I don't really care how you act, you know, in that first meeting, in that first interaction, or really even what you believe? I just want to begin to connect with you and begin to share truth with you. Because that's what Jesus begins to do here in this Matthew, this Levi party, this purposeful party. He begins to share truth. And he begins to push away the religious picture and practice. And he makes it all about the relationship. Here's the good news when we think about all of this. It is Jesus who is the provider of the forgiving grace of God. Let me ask you this question as you think about your own life. What if Jesus had the mindset or belief that the Pharisees had when he looked at you for the hope of salvation? Now, for me, that's a really easy, like, I think about my life pre-1998. I think about the journey, I think about the decisions, I think about the choices that I made. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no Pharisee or scribe that would have never associated with this guy. Anybody else in there with me? I mean, can you? But it was Jesus. It was Jesus who said, "Phil, you're a bum. There's no doubt about it. You have serious issues on the surface, but really the problem is the heart. Really the problem is what, and I have something to offer to you." And it was through the preaching of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit and my decision to follow after Christ that put me in a position to where I am today. And it was because of this forgiving grace of God. It was, I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve a right relationship with people. And I guarantee it, you are going to see people this week, next week, and in the weeks to come, that you're going to look at those people and you're going to say, they don't deserve blank, whatever it is. And I'm here to tell you, when Jesus is involved, they have the opportunity to gain and receive anything and everything from Him. Because Jesus did not put limitations on His relationship with Himself. Jesus came for people, and He came for people that had a need. And I know you're going to see people this week that have a need. And my challenge to you this week is that we would be that Jesus in this world. That we would stop being this religious organization, but we would be these relational people that are willing to step out and maybe in a very uncomfortable way and be able to share the truth of God and share the hope of salvation and follow in the mission of Christ. That He came to call sinners. And that you wouldn't run from them, but you'd be passionate for them. You'd associate with them. And together as a congregation, we would have an influence and impact in the world around us. And so here we go. Followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are to be amazed by the grace that's been shown to you. Guys, step back and be in awe of what God has done in your life. Because as soon, and I look at that from Levi's perspective, do you think Levi was amazed at what God did in his calling? You're darn right, because he walked away from being a tax collector of making all of this money, and he would never go back to that. Once you walk away from a profession like that, you have wronged the Roman government. Who knows what you did with all the money? There could be all those questions in hand. If you walk away from that, you never go back. Levi was amazed by this grace that was shown to him, to the point that he threw this party for other people. Jesus, come to my house. Let's have a party and let's other people experience the same thing. Secondly, followers of Jesus are to live under grace. How many of us, when you think about that amazement of this grace, how many of us step back and say, why am I so judgmental and critical of all of these things that are happening with all of these people? This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Where instead, if we really lived under grace and understand the power that God has over us and the love and compassion that He has shown us, then we will begin to love and care and show that grace to other people. That is that picture of living under grace. Having Christ and the Holy Spirit dictating and moving us and how we treat people and how we care for other people. It is based on God. It is based on His standard. It is based on the standard of grace, not on the standard of law. As we know, Jesus came and brought this grace into this world. And so live under that. And lastly, followers of Jesus are to pour out grace. Followers of Jesus are to pour out grace. And here's where I end and really want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to be a part of our Tuesday event. And I want you to come to this Tuesday event, and I want you to work with these people as we set this, we're going to set this room up, and we're going to have tables all around here, and I think this is where we usually have the ketchup and the mustard, and where they can doctor up their hot dogs, and when we have this room set up, and there's people behind these tables handing out water and cookies, there's more water down there, I bet you we could water all of St. Louis with the amount of water that's down there in the kitchen. It's amazing. I walked in, I'm like, whoa, party going to happen here. But we're going to have this all set up in here. And you have the opportunity. When somebody makes that mess here, you have an opportunity, or when somebody makes the mess right here, the parents are, too much candy and too much sugar, and you have an opportunity to pour out grace. Maybe just by simply saying, "Hey, do you mind if I sit down with you? Oh, let me go fill that cup for you. Oh, let me do this for you. Oh, let me care for you in this way." You may have an opportunity to pour out grace and to sit next to somebody on Tuesday. And for my outreach class that we have on Sunday nights, this would be my challenge to you. You may have an opportunity on Tuesday to pour out grace through the presentation of the gospel. And to be able to sit with somebody and say, you know, Halloween's a fun night, isn't it? Kind of a party, you get to come to the church and get all this food and hang out with us. But man, we see it so much more than that. We see it as an opportunity to just spend time with our community. And you know, we're spending time with our community. Do you mind if I share with you the good news of Jesus? Because He's really impacted my life, and I just want to share this with you tonight. And maybe you'll have that opportunity to pour grace into somebody's life. Folks, be relational. Don't be religious. Don't put on the front like you got it all figured out. Don't be those people that live on that pedestal over there. Be those people that just live Christ every single day. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're in your home, if you're in the church building, if you're at school, if you're at the workplace, at a gas station, at Walmart, it doesn't matter where you are. Be those people that are living Christ and living grace to everyone. And they too will have their lives changed like you have. Let's pray together.